Here we are on the interview bench in the courtyard at Adistana. The sun is shining and the wood pigeons are cooing, and there's quite a lot of people coming and going with deliveries and carrying stuff back and forth, preparing for Bante's 90th birthday this weekend. I've got Vijayamala here on my interview sofa, and it would be great to hear from you, Vijayamala. Apart from it just being lovely having you here, what have you been doing here at the chairs assembly meeting this morning?
Okay, so hello everybody. Yes, it's very nice to be here. The sun is actually shining and it's quite hot, which is a great thing in an English summer. And what have I done this morning? Well, I've given a presentation to the chairs as part of the secular mindfulness sort of thread, which has been a two-day part of the meeting. And I talked about Breathworks, which is the team-based right livelihood that I founded back in 2001, teaching mindfulness to people with pain and illness primarily, although we do actually have a mindfulness for stress course as well. And I've been thinking about it a lot in terms of what to say to the chairs, because I think it's quite a tricky issue. What does Buddhist centres do about this emerging phenomenon of mindfulness in the wider society? Prefer not to call it secular, because that sounds a bit polarised. Let's call it mainstream mindfulness. And what do you do if you're running a Buddhist centre and suddenly everyone's going off on these mindfulness courses, or coming to your centre having done the mindfulness course?
So, or indeed coming to your centre thinking they're going to get an ordinary mindfulness course.
That's true, yes. So I welcome the opportunity to talk about these issues. And I think the main thing that's come out of me reflecting on this over the last few days, which is actually very inspiring, is that the conversation really belongs somewhere else. Obviously, Buddhist centres need to know about what's happening, and they can make decisions about whether they want to run mindfulness courses or not, and there's definitely pros and cons for that. You can argue it very convincingly either way. But what we've heard about on this event is that there's, in fact, diversity in our centres, and I think that's brilliant, that there isn't a kind of monoculture. But obviously, Buddhist centre councils are making different decisions. Leaving that aside, I think that where this fits into the overall model of Tri Ratna is much more the Bodhisattva ideal, the new society, social engagement, transforming self and world. It's all there in Bante's original teaching. He had a huge emphasis on Buddhist practice not just being about self-development, but about global transformation. I think what we're doing with mindfulness is we've got very wide reach out into the world, far wider than a Buddhist centre. And something I always say, which I'm sure some centre chairs might not have been too keen on me saying, is that there's 70 million people in the UK, and an absolute tiny fraction of those people are ever going to go through the door of a Buddhist centre. So what I'm interested in is how do we get out? So in a way, the conversation at the chairs meeting has been, what do we do in terms of people that come to us? But I think the conversation needs to be, how do we, as Buddhists, go out into the world, into our culture, where there's enormous suffering? In Western culture, it's a mess out there. The stats on young people are truly shocking. One in five young people have got a mental health condition. One in three have got a mental health condition. One in five have frank psychiatric disorder. So it's not as if, you know, everyone's happy and healthy out there. One in three people have got a chronic health condition. One in seven are often always depressed. So what do we do about that? You know, as Buddhists, do we just sit in our centres and think, well, we'll just teach the people that come to us, which is a perfectly valid thing to do, but it's not enough for me. So I'm very moved and inspired to take the Buddhist teaching way out into the world as far as we can. I want people who are in 8-week isolation because they're having a bone marrow transplant to be able to do a breathworks course online, and they can do that now. Those people may be Muslims, they may be Christians, they may not be interested in being a Buddhist, but they can still benefit from learning to work with their minds and their hearts, and this will in turn transform their relationships with other people. So one of the critiques is that it's all very self-centered and about, you know, making samsara a bit more comfy. But I challenge that, because certainly the people I work with at breathworks, often samsara has completely, it's all smashed up. So the whole notion that you can get life on your own terms has been absolutely smashed up by, you know, catastrophe of one sort or another. So ironically, they're the most receptive people often to a completely different paradigm of interconnectedness and permanence, non-self, etc. So yeah, I think it may have been a bit reassuring to the chairs, because in a way I was saying to them, I don't really think it's your problem. You need to understand about the mindfulness world and what's happening so you can think about it. But in terms of true ratna, I would like to see the conversation happening at a much more sort of higher level. But when I say higher level, I mean sort of principles of what we're doing as a movement, and centres are one aspect of that. But I think we could have a much more well-developed, socially engaged wing. So I actually had a meeting last night with Mokshini, Parami and Vidyatara about, well, how can we begin to bring that about? And I really cannot tell you how inspired I am by that. Because the work I do is deeply moving, but I'd like it to be more consciously placed in the Tri Ratna mandala. At the moment, the whole mindfulness thing, I think it's a bit awkward for Tri Ratna. We don't really know what to think of it. So breath works as a... I think people really value what we're doing. I never hear anything other than, you know, praise for what we're doing. People don't know where we fit. And when I was in the States recently, a guy talked about the mindfulness scene as being disruptive to Buddhism. This was very interesting. In the same way that Uber is disruptive to the taxi industry and Airbnb is disruptive to the hotel industry. Yeah. So these are kind of grassroots phenomena. They emerge out of what people want. And then the prevailing status quo is kind of disrupted. It's like, oh, what do we do about this? Clearly, there seems to be an appetite for mindfulness in our culture. People want it. But it's a bit like, you know, where does that fit with us as a Buddhist movement? So I think it's just the beginning of a conversation. But I feel clearer in myself that now I want to take it to this other forum, somehow create a forum where we can have a more joined up, outward looking, you know, going out into the world, meeting suffering. And that could include environmental issues, climate change, social justice issues, things like the immigrant issue, the migrant issue. There's these appalling things happening in the world. And at the moment, we don't really have a voice as Tri Ratna. And, you know, the work that we're doing, helping people who are suffering physical illness, accident, other people working with mental health, find it very... it'd be so amazing, wouldn't it, if we had a much more worked out narrative around that.
And I think it's quite interesting that this all comes at a sort of time when the internet's played a part in those three kinds of disruption you just enumerated, and also Buddhist Action Month. As the momentum around that gathers, there's, you know, it sounds like there's quite a sort of a coming together of various streams that make it possible for Buddhists to work more effectively in social action on all sorts of different fronts.
Yes. My feeling is that now's the time. Mm. You, when you're doing this kind of thing, I suppose I know this, having developed breathworks from nothing, is there's a lot of skill in picking the timing, like when are the conditions right so there can be some momentum. And I think now is the time where we could have an intelligent momentum around social engagement. I think there's a lot of people doing excellent work, but it's all in little silos around the place and we're not talking to each other. And I think, you know, the issue for us, or the kind of challenge for those of us who come together is we don't devolve down to our single issue fanaticism. Yeah. That could easily happen. But that'll be an opportunity for us to get bigger and to work more globally. You know, well, what is the altruistic dimension of our going for refuge? Very exciting.
Very, very inspiring. Well, we've got to wrap it up. We've got plenty to do.
Lovely.
But lovely talking to you, and thanks very much.
It's always a joy talking to you, Manisha. Manisha is one of my closest friends world out there. So I want to just rejoice in her as well and the work she's doing. She's running around like a very mindful...
Blue-bottomed fly. Thanks very much.
Available for all you people out there.
Thanks very much.